Now. With AJ Poet.
Hi, everyone. This is such a fantastic afternoon. I'm just so excited sitting here in the window over at the Blue Door Gallery, which is located at 13 Riverdale Avenue in Yonkers, New York. And this is AJ Poet. Hi, everybody. I just want to let you know this is the second of the shows that we have done thus far in the month of October. This show may not be that long today, but it's definitely going to be worth your while. I had an opportunity of reconnecting with a young lady who is an author, a screenwriter, a poet, right, and who lives right here in Yonkers. So I was so excited to see her the other day. We had met at a function that was in the city. But I also wanted to share a little bit of time and talk to you about why I chose to do a show in Yonkers. It just seemed like the right time because there's so much going on in Yonkers right now. A lot of rebuilding is going on, and a lot of giving back to the community is going on. People are connecting in ways that I've never seen before, and I'm excited about that. And that's one of the reasons why we chose to put a show on that dealt with the arts community, and that's the performing arts, the still arts, creative arts, where we can give back to the community, and those talented people that are out there, that's you, can also participate and enjoy. Now, I just so happens that I've been given the opportunity to do this show, oh my goodness, at the Blue Door Gallery in Yonkers, New York. I don't know if you've ever been to this gallery, but I'm telling you right now, it is definitely a place you need to go and check out. You can go, and it's family friendly. You can go with your family, you bring your kids, your parents, and it's just so enjoyable. And they change their actual display or their actual show every so often. I think they do it once a month. But right now, the show that they have going on in the gallery is unbelievable. Later on in the show, hopefully I'll be able to have a pre-taped interview that I actually conducted with the director of the gallery. Her name is Arlie Schuyler Weinstein. And I am so excited to have talked to her. I've been in the gallery with her, and I watch her work. And it's so exciting to see her. I mean, she's just so enthusiastic about this gallery. And that is one of the things we're trying to do with the show. Not only are we going to be introducing you to the different talented artists that come through here, but we want you to learn about the individuals who actually run the gallery. So we're going to have some interviews with each one of those people who do run the gallery, what their role is, why they got involved. I'm telling you, I mean, if you want to come down here and volunteer, I'm sure if you sit and talk with Arlie, there's something that you can contribute because we want to keep this gallery going. We want people in the community to come here, and we want you to know that you don't have to go far in order to find good art. This evening, they're actually having a open mic over at the gallery. It's $10 to get in, and everyone is invited. That's also family-friendly, so we're looking for more people to come out. But after a little short break, I'm going to bring up an interview with this young lady that I said that I met. I met her about a year ago, and her name is Athena Dent, and she's going to be doing an interview with me. And right after this next break, we're going to have her come on in and talk to you. And I'm telling you, please keep your ear to this particular interview because she is really exciting. And I can't wait to get into this interview. So hold on. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is AJ. How are you doing? AJ Poet. Live at the Blue Door Gallery. I know a lot of you want to know, why am I here at the Blue Door? I just love this place. They love me, so it's a perfect match. But I want to let you know that today I have a special guest, a young lady that actually lives in Yonkers, because that's what I told you. I wanted to bring Yonkers to the community, and what that means is that we have a lot of talented individuals that you need to meet. They're right here, next door to you, right in your community. You do not have to go all the way to New York City to talk to someone who knows about art, who knows about poetry, who knows about communication, who can help you help yourself. So today I've invited a young lady who is now my friend. I met her, I think it's been about a year.
Yes.
That we originally met.
Yes.
And then by luck, well, not luck, but God, the other evening I went to an event in Harlem. It was a pitch party. We'll talk about that probably in another program. But when I got there, I found out that one of the people that was competing in the pitch party was Athena Dent. And this is the lady that I met a year ago, and I was so excited to see her, so I invited her out today, and she's going to talk to us. So, again, I told you her name, but tell me, Athena, a little bit about you, because I already know you're an author.
Yes.
But what was the road that got you to that point?
Okay. Hi, everybody. How are you? I am so happy to be here. I'm so happy to see AJ again. She's such a beautiful spirit. Well, for me, I started writing when I was 14. I started writing poetry. I was kind of a nerdy kid, homebody. I stayed in the house most of the time. And two of the things that I loved was music and writing. So I actually went and bought a composition book, the one that you get at the 99-cent store. And I just started writing. And then it started developing into poetry very quickly. What the beautiful thing about poetry is that you get to express yourself in so many different ways. Every time I give somebody a birthday card, anniversary card, I always put a poem in it. If somebody is sick, I always write a poem in it. It's just a beautiful thing. It's very soothing. It's very impressionable, depending on how you write it. You know, you get to express yourself, whether it's fear, love, whether you're scared, happy, sad, you know, you can also write poetry about the environment, what you see, what you hear. So poetry is very, very broad and is universal.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, everything you're saying is true because, I'm also a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And we in school, they would talk about writer's block. Excuse me. And the reason why I brought up writer's block is because you do talk about it in a little guide that you prepared.
Yes.
But one of the things that I've always told people with me, I don't think I've ever really experienced writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Because just what you said, you can write about almost anything.
That
I remember
is
in
true.
School, the teacher saying, okay, we want you to write a poem. And everybody go, oh, God, I don't know what to write.
Right, right.
She would say, you're sitting in a chair. You can write about the chair.
Exactly. That is so true. And they would laugh. Poetry is simple. It's not, you don't need a degree, a certificate. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You can just close your eyes and you can open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be a bird perched right there on the fence and you can write about the bird. You can close your eyes and write about a dream you had last night. So with poetry, you know, and I really encourage people who are beginner writers,
mm-hmm.
start off that way. Because it just gives you so much creativity, and you can evolve into other kinds of writing, whether it be horror, children, comedy, drama, whether you want to do nonfiction, do a biography. It's like the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sitting here looking at two books, and I see that the author is Athena Dent.
Okay.
And one is called Silk, and the other one is One of a Kind Love.
Yes.
So could you tell us a little bit about these books?
Absolutely. Well, after I started writing poetry, I love movies, all kinds of movies, old movies. I love movies with not a lot of action but good drama. They vary from different movies, you know, Sidney Poitier, Lena Horne, Robert De Niro. Those are some of my very, very great actors. So I took Silk initially was a screenplay, and it was actually my third screenplay. So I was very serious about what I wanted to do. I actually wanted it made into a play, so I started shopping it around. I had met a couple of people who were playwrights who had done Off-Broadway. I let them see it, let them read it, and they said, you know, you have something very good here. But why don't you turn it into a novel? A friend of mine said, you know, not only would you get more exposure, you would be able to actually travel with your book. You know, you can do festivals, book signing in different places. You know, you'll be really, really able to just get around much, much easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can donate your book to libraries and different things like that. So I was like, you know, that sounds pretty good. So what I had to do, screenplay and a manuscript are two different formats. So I literally had to write it all over again.
Okay.
In the format of a manuscript.
Okay.
So at the time, I was in my first marriage, which didn't work out, but the blessed thing was I wound up being a wonderful man, and he encouraged me, you know, and he said, you know what, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, I tried getting an agent, which is like finding a needle in a haystack. I tried for 2 years. I have a stack of 50 rejection letters. I stopped crying after the first three.
Okay.
And he was like, listen, you don't need to find an agent. You can do it yourself. So what I did, he said, go to the library, because they have publishing companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of finding the right one. So,
yes.
And I say, God had the angels waiting for me at the library, because when I got off the third floor, I walked to the desk. There was a librarian behind the desk, and then there was one off on my left. She was fixing the papers on the counter. So I said, you know, I'm a writer, and, you know, I want to take one of my screenplays and turn it into a book.
Mm-hmm.
So the librarian on my left, she walked over to me. She took a piece of paper, a blank paper that was on the counter. She had a pen. She wrote down three publishing companies and said, here, this is where you can get your book done, just like that.
Wow.
So it was like God already knows your steps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And will order your steps.
Yes.
And lay things out before you.
Exactly.
But you still got to do the work. And I tell people, don't shortchange yourself. I don't care if you're a seamstress, a cook,
right,
a hairstylist.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shortchange yourself. Do the work. Do the homework, because what happens is it'll make you better at what you do.
Exactly.
And with Silk, I wound up picking a publishing company. They did a wonderful job with the cover, and the reason why I say that, and
every time I think, I'm sitting here looking, I want to open that book. Yeah.
It's something about the color,
mm-hmm.
the
exactly.
cover, because when I do my book festivals and my venues, this book always sells out, or this is the first book that people will reach
okay.
to purchase or reach to read.
And that should go into, that's something an author
yes.
needs to realize, the visual is very important.
Exactly. And so the content of that book is about five generational women who are best friends, but each woman goes through a difficult life situation. And my husband was like, well, why did you tie it with silk? I said, well, think of the fabric silk. You can take it in your hand, you can crinkle it, you can roll it in a ball, but then when you open it, it's still smooth.
Oh.
Back out. So just think of the women. Each of them are going through something in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their friendship, their faith, and their love for each other that helps get them through their each individual difficult life situation. And what I decided to do, and it was something different, and I didn't even plan on doing it. I decided to do some research about silk.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it come from? How is it made? And so what I did, I incorporated that into the ending of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read it, it's like, wow. Because the ending explains the relationship of the women in the book.
Okay.
And how silk is made. And how it comes from the silk worm.
Right.
And my second book, One of a Kind Love, I took that book for my love of police drama shows. Adam 12, Hill Street Blues, Chicago PD, L.A. Law. So
some of these young people, when they hear those names, they're not going
to know. Exactly. That's from an older generation.
Yes.
Some of us who are in our late 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm a person, I'm a softy at heart when it comes to love. To me, love is very important. It heals, it nurtures, it forgives. And so I decided to write a love story.
Okay.
But it's an interracial love story.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, the way I wrote it is actually a 3-in-1 book. You get 3 stories in one. Because even though it's about two people, one of the people in the book befriends a neighborhood kid, and then the other person's mother, she's keeping a secret from the family. So all of those stories intertwine into the book, and the ending is explosive. It's explosive in the way that it's unexpected. But what I wanted to do was, anything that I've written, I want young people to read. So I wrote my book, Family Friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not urban novels, it's literary fiction. And, you know, I wanted, because one of the things that's very, very important to me, being an educator, I was a pre-K teacher for 4 years. I have my own daycare for a little while. And I'm also a mentor. And one thing with kids are always absorbing
information.
They're always absorbing information. They learn very quickly. And if they like something, oh my gosh, it hits the fan so quick.
You know, I have a cell phone. Like right now, I give my cell phone to my 5-year-old nephew because
right,
whenever I can't do anything, and he does it so quickly.
Exactly.
You know,
you know, so for me, you know, I was like, you know, it was a no-brainer, you know, not to write books so that, you know, young people. My book page pretty much targets children, teens, men and women from the ages of 4 to 55 because I just finished my children's book, which will be out next year.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And that will be geared towards toddlers.
Now, what I wanted to ask you, because you brought up a term that many people who aren't writers or authors are trying to get published, you said you wanted to shop your book. What does that exactly mean?
Okay, so one of the things, when you finish your book, you've written it, you've got it edited, you've formatted in the proper way, you feel that the character is and is well developed and is finished, you want to get it pressed into a book. So the first thing most people usually do, because, okay, for the most part, we would like to be like Walter Mosley, J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter, you know, phenomenon, you know, James Patterson. Most of us are striving to become successful like that. And not just monetarily, it's a beautiful thing when people are reading your work. So what you normally would do, you would try to find an agent. So there is a book called The Marketplace Book. It's about 2,000 pages. It's a big square book. It's black and white. And it has over 5,000 publishers in there. So I went out and I bought that book. It took me 2 weeks because you literally have to go through it with a fine tooth comb because depending on what your genre is, and genre, what I mean by what you write, whether it's comedy or drama or children's story, they're very specific
about what they're
looking for. Right. So you literally will have to get a couple of boxes of envelopes, a couple of rolls of stamps, and then you will have to write a query letter. And a query letter is basically you're taking your whole book and you're summarizing it into 2 paragraphs.
Okay.
And then you're going to send out letters to every publishing agent.
That's going to be too exciting.
Oh, yes. And you really have to use a lot of creativity when you do that. To actually take a whole book. Your book could be 150 pages. It could be 350 pages. So you really got to choose very carefully how you're going to word your query letter. So you send them out.
Mm-hmm.
You wait usually 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them are very overbooked with, you know, clients and things like that. So I tell people, the first and foremost thing you have to be is patient. If you're looking to make a whole lot of money in a short period of time, it is not going to happen. You must be patient and be prepared for rejection.
Right.
Now, some people I've met, and when I mean some, I mean my maybe 2, who were very, very fortunate. They sent out 5 query letters the first time, and they got an agent.
So I was
very happy for them.
Right.
You know, one thing about me, I'm always encouraging other people. I'm very happy for other people because the whole idea for me for life is to be your best.
Yes.
Whatever it is that you're doing, and strive for the best.
Exactly.
And, you know, but I tell people it's a journey. It's a journey. So, you know, that's the first step. Now, if after about a year, 2 years, you find that's not working, the second step is self-publishing. So you can actually now, I actually found another publishing company who was very, very economical, and they have very, very good reputation. It's called booklocker.com, and I'm going to be publishing my third book through them. There's also Create Space. They're also very good too, and they're very economical.
Okay.
So people have to do their homework.
Exactly. So
you know, don't just go into things blindly, right? Because you want to be in a rush. Don't be in a rush because haste makes waste.
I understand.
It really does. And if you really love what you do and you're really passionate, you will take your time because you want to give people your best work.
Exactly.
And that's very important.
I appreciate knowing that.
Absolutely.
I want to turn the corner a little bit
sure.
and talk more about your family.
Cool.
Because you mentioned to me when I met you again
exactly.
that a little bit about your history.
Yes.
And I'd like you to share that because I find that fascinating also.
I take a lot after my dad. We read a lot. We study a lot, whether it's nutrition, whether it's culture, history. My father just taught me to just be educated in the sense of knowing as much as possible, being aware of a lot of information as much as you can. Because what happens is it helps you to be a better human being. That's one. Two, it allows you to have respect for other human beings. Three, it allows you to have the right frame of mind because you have accurate information and understanding. So my family, my father's family, for the foremost, they are very deeply rooted spiritually. They are very enriched with culture and family. They're just very down-to-earth, lively, hardworking, God-fearing people. And one of the things that I treasure a lot is our ancestors, whether they be my African-American ancestors or my Native American ancestors. So, you know, when I got in my 20s, I started having talks with my dad about his mom, my nana, because I actually have a picture on my mantelpiece of my father's mother holding me on my day of christening.
I call my grandmother's nana.
Yes, I call her nana, and I have her in a picture frame, and it says grandmother. And you can see her Native American features. She looks, they're so strong. And, you know, from what was told to me, she was a very strong, nurturing, authoritative woman and very, very loving. Her guidance was very grounded in the family because there's seven brothers and sisters, my father along with his other siblings. And, you know, and then what I did, I started reading a lot about Native American cultures. Actually, if you go downtown to mid-Manhattan, to Bowling Green, the Museum of American Indian is down there. And when you go in there, I mean, I like how they have it set up because they literally have it broken down into the different tribes. It explains where they settled in America because they actually have a map.
All right.
And the map really displays exactly where they lived.
Where they settled in America.
Yes,
okay.
Within America, within the United States of America. And they literally have it color-coded.
All right.
And they have phenomenal books. I have a huge, it's a huge book. You actually have to, I have to put it on top of my warrior because it's a huge Native American book. It talks about the weapons that they use for hunting. It talks about the different things that they used to eat with, the bowls, the clay, and just all different kinds of things and how they lived,
right.
How they had so much respect for Mother Earth.
Exactly.
You know, and even though they had to kill the buffalo, not just for food, but also for clothing, they always prayed over the animal to give the animal respect.
I see.
Because of the fact that they knew what they had to do to the animal. You know, and for me, I think that's what's lost in our current society.
you know, it has become so industrialized. It has become so commercialized. And the fact that people have lost so much sight of just the simple things,
mm-hmm.
you know, just having respect when an elderly person gets on the bus, you automatically get up,
mm-hmm.
not cursing.
Well, even the way we treat elderly, I mean, the way we treat our very young,
yes.
all this can
absolutely. So I think, you know, for me personally, through my reading, my studying, and the upbringing that was within my family, I think we, those of us from, especially Generation X, which is what the generation now is called,
right.
they need to reach back. The elders that are still alive need to reach forward and sit them down to have a conversation.
I'm hopeful because I'm coming in contact, like I expressed to you, that I am
yes.
really fasting right now. I'm learning more about my health. And
yes.
But a lot of information that's been coming to me, I've been getting from books, but I'm also getting, excuse me, from young people. I was on White Plains Road the other day going to a health food store, and I was asking the proprietor a question, and this gentleman was standing next to me, and he could have been about 25, maybe 20, if he was 30, I don't think so. He started explaining things to me. He pulled up the herbs and was explaining. He was talking about, which I just asked him about how I can drink more water. I don't appreciate water like I should. Of course, they tell you just drink water.
Right.
But he was also telling me, well, there's certain vegetables and plants that you're going to get that extra water.
Exactly.
And I'm like, how do you know? And he said, I just drink it. I drink it. And that, I'm hopeful that our young people, they do read.
They do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you told them they're going to read.
Right? That is true.
Even about spirituality.
Yeah.
Really. Grounded.
That's the thing. Well, you know, that's funny you said that because one thing about teenagers, if one tells one, the information quickly spreads to like 25
okay.
because they listen to each other.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? If a song is great and the lyrics and the beat, they'll share it with the next friend and next friend, and then the next thing you know, you have 100 of them
exactly.
buying the CD.
They have social media.
Exactly. So it's no different from culture.
Right.
And you know, one thing that I found in Native American culture is just so very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very humbling in respect to not needing a lot and being satisfied with a little. And just that nurturing and appreciation of the earth and what the earth gives us. You know, I find my life, I try to live my life as simple as possible. And I find it has helped me to not be stressful at all.
Exactly.
So I think that if a lot of us would just take some time and sit down and mainstream our lives just a little bit, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of things you don't need that you think you do.
You don't need to worry.
Exactly.
I had to be forced to learn how to do this through illness. And I just thank God every day that I listened. At that point, like, I should have listened before.
No, but it's okay.
But
it's a journey.
It's a journey. And I want to grab some people and shake them.
No. I know.
Let them go through
exactly. And that's why, you know, I don't judge people. I really don't. I may not like something or I may not agree with something, but my thing is, I have a saying, and it's from my ancestors, you know, nobody can walk in my moccasins, and I can't walk in anybody else's moccasins.
Yes.
And so I live life, I think about that all the time when I see friends going through something or just everyday people, you know. But I treasure my culture very much, even my African-American culture. It's just so rich.
Rich.
And broad and vast. And I hope that those of you who are listening, those of you who don't like yourself because you've been told that you're not smart, you're not attractive, or your people assume to do this or that,
right.
Go start reading.
Yeah.
Yes. Start to read. Learn your history. It's very, very important. And once you do that, and that's going to take years, not a week, a couple of months, that's going to take years of you reading and studying. Believe me, you will love who you are.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's what will allow us to grow forward.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Not just to learn the past because you want to learn the bad things. You want to learn the total past.
That is true.
If something is negative, it still needs to be known so that you can even not repeat it.
Exactly.
you know, deal with it.
That's right.
Why hide it?
That's true. That is true.
But, you know, I want to stop now, although I don't want to stop now, but I'm going to stop now because I need to have other commitments.
Yes, yes.
I was going to go into the guidelines for writers, but what I'd rather do is just let you tell people
sure.
how to get contact with you or how to find your books.
Okay. Well, there's two ways actually you can get my book. You can contact me via email. If you need help, because what I also do, I mentor other writers. I enjoy doing that. I was teaching a workshop at the Yonkers Riverfront Library. I will probably start that again probably after the winter time, because I have so much obligations right now. But my email address is ad.peaceofmind. That's PEACEOFMIND @yahoo.com. You can also order books through that email also, or you can go on BarnesandNobles.com. All of my books will be on both sites, and I also will be making my announcements for my new and upcoming book.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do for you is that when you have the dates of your class
yes.
and any other information, I will
sure.
definitely broadcast it, and I will let you know. I will be in the class.
Absolutely, because I get my big email. Oh, yes. I get my big email shout-out to all of my fans, letting them know this is what's happening. Come on out.
But we were definitely going to stay in touch.
Yes.
I'll probably be re-interviewing you because I got so much out of this. I realize we could do the whole 2.5 hours.
Oh, and we will one day. Absolutely. Absolutely. No problem, AJ.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. You know, and I just want to say, you know, nothing is a mistake or a coincidence.
No,
it was a reason why we ran into each other, and I enjoy it. That's why I love what I do.
Right.
Because I want to share.
Because the information you get, I don't know about you guys out there, but the information she shared already has blessed me. So I know that I'm going to want to talk to Athena again and pass on any more information she has. So please keep listening to Speak Now with AJ Poet, and we will get back to you and let you know about more things going on in Yonkers. Thank you. Thank you, Athena.
Thank you, everybody.